Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 16 November 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. The great epistle on virtue love. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 1 John is the great epistle on the doctrine of virtue love. And all the way through this chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, we're right in the middle of an absolutely amazing truth about virtue love. 1 John chapter 4, let's first start out at verse 8. The one who does not love, this is the believer in Jesus Christ, who does not love, and this is specifically with impersonal love for all, absolutely has not come to know God. He has no personal love for God the Father. That's the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all. He has no personal love for Jesus Christ, no occupation with Christ. And then he concludes and says, because God is virtue love. What we have there is the Greek word agape, and the Apostle John uses this in a very special way for virtue love. God is love. God is agape. God is agape, and agape is virtue love. God is love. That's true. God is virtue love, and God's virtue love includes personal love and impersonal love. Personal love puts the spotlight on the object. And God the Father has infinite personal love for His own righteousness, because His righteousness is absolute righteousness. And God the Father has infinite personal love for God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for God the Holy Spirit, because they also have the attribute of absolute righteousness. So God has infinite personal love for his own righteousness, infinite personal love for the righteousness of God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Personal love puts the spotlight on the object. Impersonal love puts the spotlight on the subject, the one doing the loving. God has infinite impersonal love because he is infinite holiness, infinite righteousness and justice, infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinite honor. And that means he can love spiritually dead and totally depraved mankind with infinite impersonal love for all. Together, this makes up God's virtue love. God is virtue love. That's the end of verse 8. And then verse 9, by this, the unconditional, impersonal love of God the Father for all mankind. And how can he have infinite impersonal love for all mankind? Because the spotlight is on his virtue, his honor, his integrity, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And because of that, the spotlight in this is on God the Father. He can love all mankind with infinite impersonal love for all because he is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. By this, the unconditional, impersonal love of God the Father for all mankind was manifested among us. In our case, in the case of spiritually dead, totally depraved mankind, namely, that God has sent his unique Son into the world. God the Father, because he is infinite virtue love, because he has infinite impersonal love for all mankind, he designed Operation Grace, the cross. He designed the plan of salvation. He designed it knowing man was spiritually dead and totally depraved. And that plan called for his beloved Son, God the Son, to leave heaven on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know is the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. He left heaven through the incarnation and virgin birth. He took on true humanity to carry out the incarnation plan that the Father had for him, the plan of salvation, Operation Grace the Cross. And his mission was to go to that cross, receive the sins of the whole world, and the judgment for those sins. And that was the infinite impersonal love of God the Son for us. So God the Father had infinite impersonal love for all mankind in designing Operation Grace the Cross. God the Son had infinite impersonal love for all mankind in willingly going to the cross, receiving the sins of the world and the judgment for those sins. So we have this amazing chapter. By this, the unconditional, impersonal love of God the Father for all mankind spiritually dead and totally depraved, was manifested among us in our case. Namely, that God has sent his unique Son into the world for the purpose that we might live, that we might have the gift of eternal life, and that we might live the unique spiritual life that God has for us. By the agency of him, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's purpose in sending his unique Son was that we might live by the agency of Him. And that phrase, by the agency of Him, in verse 9, it is going to be defined in the next verse, verse 10, in the phrase, He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's unique Son had to die. He had to go to a cross. He had to be imputed with the sins of the whole world and judge for those sins so that we might live. And therefore, when the impersonal love of God the Father was manifested toward us, this manifestation involved two very opposite experiences. Death for God's unique Son, His spiritual death on the cross, receiving the sins of the whole world and the judgment for those sins, and life for us, the ones who believe in Jesus Christ. That God the Father would design this incarnation plan for His beloved Son, Operation Grace, the cross, so that we might have the gift of eternal life, speaks volumes about the infinite greatness of God's virtue love. This greatness of God's virtue love is further magnified when we consider that His unique Son was impeccable, sinless perfection, while we were totally depraved and wretchedly sinful. The infinite impersonal love of God the Father, the author of Operation Grace, the cross, and God the Son, the unique Son, who willingly carried out Operation Grace, the cross, is magnified to the maximum because we, mankind, were in the status of spiritual death and total depravity. Now, the Apostle John goes on. It just, for me personally, this has been absolutely the greatest for me personally, studying this in detail. And in detail, seeing God's infinite virtue love for all mankind, for me personally, for all of you. So now in 1 John 4, verse 10, in the King James it starts out, herein is love. This is the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, plus the present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi, plus the nominative singular of agape with the definite article. The preposition and literally means in. We have a phrase here. It's the same phrase we had in verse 9. We have it twice. In verse 9 we had this in plus the demonstrative pronoun houtos, and we have it again in verse 10. It looks like this, en tuta. There's the preposition en, and this is the demonstrative pronoun houtos in the neuter. But it's en, and you know, this doesn't happen very often, but that's how it looks in the Greek, and that's how it looks in the English. So there you go. En tuta. Now, in verse 10, it's used one way. In verse 9, it was used a different way. And this is important. So, a couple of things. One, in verse 9, in 1 John 4, 9, we had en tuta. And in verse 9, it was translated by this. By this. That was verse 9. So in 1 John 4, 9, we had en tuta, and it means by this, stressing the way The impersonal love of God the Father was revealed and manifested. So in 1 John 4:9, we had en tu ta, but it meant it was translated by this, stressing the way the impersonal love of God the Father was revealed and manifested. Point two. Now, in 1 John 4:10, we have en tu ta again. This time, it is correctly translated in this. Not by this, in this. And it emphasizes the basic character of God's virtue love. Specifically, His impersonal love for all. So in 1 John 4:9, and tuta means by this, stressing the way the impersonal love of God the Father was revealed and manifested. Now in verse 10, and tuta means in this, emphasizing the basic character of God's virtue love, specific His impersonal love for all mankind. Three. That is, the manner in which God's impersonal love for all was displayed and specified in verse 9. The manner in which God's impersonal love for all was displayed and specified in verse 9, while now in verse 10, the basic character is presented. So the manner in which God's impersonal love for all was displayed and specified in verse 9, while now in verse 10, the basic character presented. Four, in verse 10, John is saying, this is what virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, is all about. So in verse 10, John is saying, this is what impersonal love for all is all about. God's infinite impersonal love for all mankind. Designing the plan of salvation, Operation Grace the Cross. Five, since God is virtue love, verse 8. Since God is virtue love, verse 8, we come to understand the character of this virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, by the sending of His Son for us to be the propitiation for our sins. Since God is virtue love, verse 8, we come to understand the character of this virtue love, this specifically impersonal love for all mankind, by the sending of His Son for us to be the propitiation for our sins. We have the to be verb a me, E-I-M-I. The to be verb a me means is, and then we have he agape. That's a definite article. This is the noun. And this is John's word for virtue love. He agape. Virtue love. And emphasizing here infinite impersonal love for all mankind. Now, the nominative case is a predicate nominative. And I know all you English majors out there, you're going, yeah, wow, that's powerful, a predicate nominative. You see, a nominative can be a subject, and that's not a big deal. But when it's a predicate nominative, that's very, very emphatic. The predicate nominative, the whole purpose of the verse is to predicate the character of God's virtue love, God's impersonal love for all. So this is the emphatic position, predicate nominative. So this first clause, then refers to what will follow in the rest of the verse. So it says, corrected translation, in this is virtue love. In this is specifically impersonal love for all. All right? One. Impersonal love for all depends upon the character, the virtue, the honor, the integrity of the one doing the loving. Impersonal love for all, the spotlight is put on the subject, the one doing the loving. And the one doing the loving is God. God is the one doing the loving. Impersonal love for all depends on the character, the virtue, the honor, the integrity of the one doing the loving. The spotlight is put on the subject, and the subject is God. He's the one doing the loving in designing Operation Grace, the plan of salvation for mankind. Two, God is holy. The Bible says that again and again and again and again. And the holiness of God refers to the attributes. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Three, therefore, God is infinite virtue, infinite honor, infinite integrity with all of his creation. With all of his creation. Four, when the infinite virtue of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, combines with the love of God, it results in infinite virtue love. When the infinite virtue of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, combines with the love of God, it results in infinite virtue love. And five, this means God has infinite impersonal love for all mankind. For all mankind in the status of spiritual death, all mankind in the status of total depravity. God has infinite impersonal love for all mankind. Six, the source of virtue is the function of the integrity of God. His absolute righteousness and perfect justice related to the divine love of God. The source of virtue is the function of the integrity of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, related to the divine love of God. Seven, God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God is infinite virtue, and a holy God cannot allow sinful man into heaven. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, infinite virtue, and a holy God cannot allow sinful man into heaven. And therefore, God, in his infinite virtue love, designed the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. Point eight, the righteousness and perfect justice of God must be propitiated. The righteousness and perfect justice of God must be propitiated. Satisfied. Propitiation means to propitiate means to satisfy. And the righteousness and justice of God, his infinite holiness, had to be satisfied, propitiated. And he designed a plan in his infinite virtue love that would solve mankind's problem of sin and propitiate, satisfy his own absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And that is Operation Grace, the cross. So the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God must be propitiated, satisfied. 9. So the impersonal love of God for us, infinite impersonal love of God for us, for all mankind, designed the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. So the impersonal love of God for all mankind designed Operation Grace, the cross. God the Father is the author of the plan of salvation. And what enabled that? Because God is virtue love. Infinite personal love, infinite impersonal love. So the impersonal love of God for all mankind designed the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. 10. God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind sent His eternal Son, His beloved Son, into the world. The incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ on that very first Christmas. Why? To take on true humanity, to go to a cross, and be the propitiation for our sins. God the Father's impersonal love for us, for all mankind, sent His eternal Son into the world. The incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ on that very first Christmas to take on true humanity, to go to the cross and be the propitiation for our sins. 11. God the Father's impersonal love for us, for all mankind, was so that the Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, could propitiate, satisfy His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. His holiness. God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind was so that the Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, could propitiate, satisfy the Father's righteousness and perfect justice, His holiness. 12. This enables God the Father to make eternal salvation available to anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, without compromising His essence, His attributes in any way. This enables God the Father to make eternal salvation available to anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, without compromising His essence, His attributes in any way. So, 13, and point 13 takes us into the next phrase. So virtue love started with God, not with us. Virtue love started with God, not with us. So far we have in this, In this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all mankind. Now, we have the principle that virtue love did not start with us. It started with God. So in the King James it says, not that we love God. So in this is virtue love, impersonal love for all mankind. Not that we love God. And this is the objective negative uk plus the conjunction ha ti plus the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the perfect active indicative of agapao plus the accusative singular of theos with the definite article. We start out here with the objective negative uk. O-U-C-H. That's uk, not ouch. Uk. Objective negative, and it slams the door. The best way to translate the objective negative uk is absolutely not. Absolutely not. Virtue love absolutely did not start with mankind. Started with God. Not with man, it started with God. Now, Arnton Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 592, declares that in our verse, hati functions as the substitute for the epexegetical infinitive. I know that went right over to by everybody's head here, but anyway, it means a lot to me. So, and it enables me to translate this the right way, but anyway, you can just sit there and look like you really knew what I just said right there. Hati functions as a substitute for the epexegetical infinitive after a preceding demonstrative pronoun, in our case, entuto. In this is virtue love. In this use, hati is correctly translated that. So the corrected translation, absolutely not that. Absolutely not that. And then we have the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego. That's we. And then the verb agapao. So we've had the noun agape. Here's, it comes from the verb agapao. A-G-A-P-A long O. Agapao. And this is the verb that means to love with virtue love. Specifically, to love with impersonal love for all mankind. The accusative singular of theos with the definite article is the accusative direct object. And the object, direct object is theos, God. So the corrected translation, in this is virtue love. Specifically, impersonal love for all mankind. Absolutely not that we had loved God. Okay? One. Mankind comes into the world how? Physically alive and in the status of spiritual death. We're all come into the world physically alive and spiritually dead. In spiritual death, we are totally depraved. Total depravity of mankind. That's how every member of the human race comes in. So mankind comes into the world physically alive and spiritually dead. Two, we are all born, physical birth, into slavery. Slavery to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. Slavery to Satan as the ruler of this world. So we are all born, physical birth, we are born into slavery. Slave to the sin nature as the ruler of human life, slave to Satan as the ruler of this world. Three, we are born slaves to the sin nature and entrapped in Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. We are born slaves to the sin nature and entrapped in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Four, There is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue love in the sin nature. There is no virtue love in the sin nature. There is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. There is no personal love for God in the sin nature and in Satan's cosmic system. There's no impersonal love for all in Satan's cosmic system. There is no occupation with Jesus Christ in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. 5. Therefore, we could not possibly love God unless we were first of all the beneficiary of His impersonal love for us. Operation Grace, the cross. Therefore, we could not possibly love God unless we were first of all the beneficiaries of His impersonal love for us. Operation Grace, the cross, the plan of salvation. So the corrected translation of verse 10 now says, in this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all mankind. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that He loved us. This is the conjunction Allah plus the conjunction Hati plus the nominative singular of Autos plus the aorist active indicative of Agapao once again and the accusative plural of the personal pronoun Ego. Allah. A-L-L-A, Allah. Strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, correctly translated, but it sets up a contrast between one, what the basic character of virtue love is not, with what it is. It sets up a contrast between what the basic character of virtue love is not, with what it is. Secondly, it sets up a contrast between who and what we are, spiritually dead and totally depraved, with who and what God is, absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and infinite virtue love. So it sets up, secondly, a contrast between who and what we are in spiritual death and total depravity, with who and what God is, absolute righteousness and perfect justice, infinite virtue love. And third, it sets up a contrast between virtue love that did not, absolutely did not start with us, with virtue love that did start with God. Once again, the conjunction Hati is functions as a substitute for the epexegetical infinitive after a preceding demonstrative, and once again is correctly translated that. And then we have the intensive pronoun autos, used as a third person personal pronoun. A-U-T-O-S, autos, and this is very common in Koine Greek. The New Testament scriptures were written in Koine Greek, not classical Greek. Koine Greek is the Greek of the common man. Koine means common. It's common Greek. And this is very common in Koine Greek, but in classical Greek, never. The intensive pronoun is always an intensive pronoun in classical Greek, but this is Biblical Greek, and Biblical Greek is Koine Greek, and therefore, most of the time in the New Testament scriptures, autos is the intensive pronoun, is used for the third person personal pronoun, and correctly translated, He. And who is He? Now there's Hebrew coming into, who is he is she, and me is who, okay. He is God the Father. Agapao again is to love with virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. The accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego, again, is the accusative direct object, us, referring to the entire human race. So the corrected translation, in this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all mankind. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that He, God the Father, loved us. And then He goes on and amplifies, and sent His Son. This is the conjunction chi plus the aorist active indicative of apostello plus the accusative singular of huios with a definite article plus the genitive singular of autos once again. The conjunction chi is a connective chi. You translate it and then the verb apostello. A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L, long O, apostello. Apostello means to send someone, and to send them away from. And the Father sent the Son, who, His beloved Son, He sent Him away from heaven, on that very first Christmas, through the incarnation and virgin birth, to humble Himself and take on true humanity, to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. The subject, He, God the Father, sent, huios autos, His Son. So one, on that very first Christmas, God the Father sent His eternal Son from heaven to earth to fulfill His incarnation plan, Operation Grace, the cross, the eternal plan of salvation. So on that very first Christmas, God the Father sent His eternal Son, and this John is stating, this is the basic character of what impersonal love is all about. This is it. So on that very first Christmas, God the Father sent His eternal Son from heaven to earth to fulfill His salvation plan, the incarnation plan, Operation Grace, the cross. Two, through the incarnation and virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ took on true humanity. He took on true humanity free from Adam's imputed sin. He took on true humanity free from the genetically formed old sin nature. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was born, He was born physically alive, but He wasn't born spiritually dead. He was born physically alive and spiritually alive. So through the incarnation and virgin birth, the Lord Jesus Christ took on true humanity, free from Adam's imputed sin, free from the genetically formed sin nature. Three, He was born physically alive and spiritually alive at birth. At birth, He was born physically alive, spiritually alive. He was indwelt and filled with the Spirit to provide the power for Him to live the very first spiritual life and accomplish the incarnation plan that the Father had for Him. Operation Grace the Cross. So He was born physically alive and spiritually alive. He was born indwelt and filled with the Spirit as the power to live the very first spiritual life and accomplish the incarnation plan that the Father had for him. Operation Grace the Cross. 4. He proceeded to live a life on this earth totally free from personal sin, so that he was impeccable, sinless perfection, and therefore qualified to go to the cross. If he had sinned one time, he would have been disqualified, and we would have had no Savior. He had to be sinless perfection. He had to be impeccable. And he lived on a life on this earth totally free from personal sin, and therefore qualified to go to the cross and solve the world problem of sin. 5. As the impeccable God-man, Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. As the impeccable God-man, he was qualified to go to the cross and satisfy the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God the Father, to satisfy the holiness of the Father. As the impeccable God-man, he was qualified to go to the cross and satisfy the holiness of the Father, the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God the Father. Six, he satisfied the absolute righteousness of God the Father because he was absolute righteousness. He satisfied the absolute righteousness of God the Father because he was absolute righteousness. Seven, he satisfied the justice of God the Father by being imputed with the sins of the whole world and receiving the judgment for those sins. He satisfied the justice of God the Father by being imputed with the sins of the whole world and receiving the judgment for those sins. So the corrected translation, in this, see verse 9, it was by this, the manner. This is in this. This is what impersonal love is all about. In this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that He, God the Father, loved us. And He, God the Father, sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. To be the propitiation for our sins. This is the accusative singular of hilasmas, plus the prepositional phrase peri, plus the genitive plural of hamartia with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Hilasmas. Looks like that in the Greek. That's H. Where's the H? The H is this breathing mark. That's a mouth breathing over the word. H-I-L-A-S-M-O-S. Hilasmos. One, hilasmos is the Greek word for propitiation. Satisfaction. Propitiate, to propitiate means to satisfy. Two, propitiation was a critical part of God the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. Propitiation was a critical part of God the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. 3, propitiation is the work of Christ on the cross, directed toward God the Father. God the Father's holiness. God the Father's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. His infinite integrity and virtue. So propitiation is the work of Christ on the cross, directed toward God the Father. God the Father's holiness, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, his infinite integrity and virtue. 4, the righteousness and justice of God the Father combined with his divine love is the basis of his impersonal love for all mankind. All mankind in the status of spiritual death and total depravity. So point 4, the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God the Father, combined with his divine love, is the basis of his impersonal love for all mankind in the status of spiritual death and total depravity. In his infinite, impersonal love for all mankind, God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, so that his Son, his beloved Son, his eternal Son, could solve mankind's problem of sin. In his infinite impersonal love for all mankind, God the Father designed Operation Grace the Cross so that his Son could solve mankind's problem of sin, which he did. 6, God the Father is satisfied, propitiated, with the sacrificial ministry of our Lord on the cross. God the Father is satisfied, propitiated with the sacrificial ministry of our Lord on the cross. Seven, in propitiation, Jesus Christ satisfied the righteous demand of a holy God. In propitiation, Jesus Christ satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. He satisfied the righteousness of God the Father because he is the righteous one. Absolute righteousness. He satisfied the justice of God the Father by bearing our sins and the judgment for those sins on the cross. The justice of God judged our sins in Jesus Christ on the cross, and the integrity of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, is satisfied, propitiated by that judgment. 8. Propitiation proves that God is virtue love. That he has impersonal love for all mankind. Because it frees the justice of God to immediately give anyone who believes in Christ eternal salvation. Propitiation proves that God is virtue love, that he has impersonal love for all mankind, because it frees the justice of God to immediately give anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ, eternal salvation. 9. Therefore, propitiation relates directly to the virtue of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. It relates directly to the holiness of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Therefore, propitiation relates directly to the holiness of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and His impersonal love for all mankind. 10. Propitiation is the turning away of the wrath of God by the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. Propitiation is the turning away of the wrath of God by the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. Eleven, propitiation frees the justice of God to give eternal salvation to the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ, proving His impersonal love for all mankind. Propitiation frees the justice of God to give eternal salvation to the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ, proving His impersonal love for all mankind. And then we have a preposition, peri, P-E-R-I, peri. Peri plus the genitive case means for. You translate it for. And then we have hamartia in the plural. And you are all, at least those of you who are consistent in being here and learning the Word of God, you know that hamartia in the plural refers to personal sins. Here it's in the plural, personal sins. And then the personal pronoun ego, ego in the plural. E-G long O, and that is our, for our personal sins, for our sins. So the corrected translation says, in this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all mankind. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that He, God the Father, loved us, and He sent His Son, the propitiation for our sins. Well, that's verse 8, verse 9, verse 10. I feel like I could stay here and go over, and the depth of this is absolutely phenomenal. For the believer in Jesus Christ, who grows up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, grace orientation and doctrinal orientation, who consistently and faithfully learns and believes the Word of God, and you learn these things, as you learn these things, all that could result from that is you love God more and more and more and more. that developed virtue love in your own soul. And that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. For you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. For you to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. For you to have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Jesus Christ. And when you study these things and see it and learn it and believe it, you love God more and more and more and more. And when you love God more, you have impersonal love that motivates impersonal love for all. God wants you to have impersonal love for all. He loved us first with virtue love. And when you catch a hold of this and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then you'll have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Jesus Christ was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as you study this about God's virtue love, you love God more and more and more with all your soul, heart, mind, and strength. And the second commandment, Jesus Christ, is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Impersonal love for all. That's God. That's God's love. God is virtue love. And for you who place your faith in Jesus Christ. He wants you to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. He wants you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that will motivate you to have impersonal love for all mankind. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us. That these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.